We have this chutz as we continue our Tuesday guest shiurim, guest speakers, guest shiurim, guest magidei shiur, to have Rav Yonason Sacks, who's a Rosh Shiva at Lander College, based Medrash LaTalmud. Rav Sacks is known, anybody who's heard of shiurim in the past, is known for his breadth of shas, his knowledge of shas, and the clarity in which he gives his shiurim over. B'chavad gadol, Rav Sacks Shlita.
Thank you very much. It's certainly a pleasure to be able to join you tonight. I had the opportunity for the past hour or so to be in the Beis Medrash, and it was something that really was quite inspiring to see the enthusiasm, the hislavus, the hasmada. It's something I would urge you to be part of and take advantage of, and Baruch Hashem, that you're part of a wonderful, wonderful yeshiva. I wanted to begin discussing that which relates to various aspects of the parsha and kind of demonstrate that this really represents certain yesodos that I think are very relevant for the life of B'nai Torah and B'nai Yeshiva. The Torah tells us, of course, of the interaction, the conflict of Yaakov and Esav, and the willingness of Esav HaRasha to part with the Bechora. And the fact that he was willing to do so poses two very different challenges. One, the halacha, and the second, in the realm of hashkafa. In the realm of halacha, you know that the Gemara tells us, the Rambam writes in Perachav Beis of Hilchos Mechira, that Ein Adam Makne Davar Shelo Baliolam. If something does not yet exist, it's impossible to go in to make a kinyan. It is not something that a person can forgo. It is not something that you can acquire. After all, when we think of a kinyan, normally it means that a person takes possession of something, an act of a hagbah, an act of meshicha. How is that possible if something doesn't exist? If I see, for example, that you have a special crop this year, and I want to secure the rights to your field next year, I cannot go ahead and be kona peros deko. Those peros don't exist, and therefore a kinyan cannot Bichal. The only way you can do so is a kinyan of dekel leperosa. I can acquire rights to your field, and anything that will grow will be mine. But certainly, ein adam makna davar shelo bali olam. And this is the challenge of the Bechora. If I were to ask you, what is it exactly that the Bechora represents? Well, you tell me that in the future, perhaps the Bechor would have been entitled to do avoda in Mikdash. A Bechor has a certain level of Kedusha, Kadesh liko Bechor. A Bechor ultimately is given Pishnayim, Erusha and Eretz Yisrael will be enhanced by the fact that you are a Bechor. All of that was a future right, something that was really intangible in the time of Yaakov and Esav. And the simple question is as follows: how can you speak about a kinyan, any type of acquisition, when it comes to a Bechora, which is a Davar Shaloba Liolam? This is not my kasha, this is a Tshuva Sarivash in Simen Shin Chav Ches. And the Rivash asks this in the name of the Rush. This is the Rush's kasha. How is it possible to have any form of kinyan? Ein adam makne davar shelo baliolam. The teretz that the Rush gives is somewhat surprising, and that is, you know, the parsha describes a shvua. He shavali kayom, and the response v'yishavalo. A shvua was taken between Yaakov and Esav. What exactly was the purpose of that shvua? The Rush writes a very great chiddush, that typically, ein adam makna davar shelo bali olam, but if it's accompanied by a shvua, then a kinyan is chal. A chiddush of the Rush. Al yedei shvua, a person can acquire something even though as of yet it doesn't exist, even though it's intangible. How do you understand that chiddush, that al yedei shvua, a person can go ahead and acquire? If the chisaron of davar shelo bali olam means there is nothing concrete, there is nothing tangible on which a kinyan can be chal, so how is that affected by the fact that a person makes a shvua? How does that impact on ein adam makna davar shelo bali olam? Here I would suggest a possible lishitase. Why is it that ein adam makna davar shelo bali olam? If you look, for example, in Kiryas Sefer, Perachav Beis of Hilchos Mechira, there the Mabit writes, as I explained, a kinyan has to be chal boso hachefetz. And if the chefetz doesn't exist, how can you speak about a kinyan? But not everyone agrees with that explanation of ein adam makna davar shelo bali olam. If you look in Rabbeinu Tam and Sefer Yashar, Tavkuf Tzadi Beis, Rabbeinu Tam writes, it's not a halach in cheftza, but rather it's halachi in das makne, in das kone. If something exists and I'm holding something and I hand it to you, so how can I say I didn't intend, I didn't mean, I didn't realize? What do you mean? You parted with the chayfetz. If something is not yet tangible, it not yet in existence, it hasn't come yet to fruition, in such a case, Rabbi Nutam explains there's a lack of Gemira's das. This is not only a Chiddush Rabbi Nutam. If you look in Shita Mekubetzes, Baba Basra, Kuf Mem Beis, this is a Chiddush of the Rosh. Einan amakna davar shabadel mezalochi in the das hagavra, not aloch in the cheftza of the kinyan itself. If it's aloch in das, I would suggest then Shvua makes a world of difference. Shvua is not going to allow the chefetz to be created or reinstated. What does Shvu accomplish? But if it's halachin das konin das makne, can I honestly argue that if I make a Shvu daraisa, this is something that I didn't consider, I didn't realize, I didn't take seriously? You're a maskir shem shamayim. You did so in the context of a Shvu'ah. How can you argue that it's not something that I took seriously at all? And therefore, the Chiddush of the Rosh Hashita, that ayyadei Shvu'ah, it's possible to imakna davar shabaliyolam, the Rosh is Chiddush, that's exactly the parsha of Hishavali Kayom and Vayishava Lo. What kinyan was used to be able to acquire the Bechora? If you look in Sfarno, the Sfarno writes it was a kinyan chalipin. That what happened? That Yaakov, you know, presented Esav Rasha with the Nezid Adashim when he took hold of that Kli, so therefore he surrendered. Yaakov, you know, acquired the right of the Bechora. That is a Kinyan Chalipin. Chalipin is an unusual Kinyan. Normally, when a person is Koner Makne, you take hold of a Chefetz. Hadba Meshicha, that's not true when it comes to Kinyan Chalipin. Chalipin is what we call in Lamdas a Hakna Midas. It's a reflection of Das Kona, of Das Makne. And there is a Shita of the Ravid. The Ravid has a separate Chibur, which is called Tamim Deim. If you look in that Sefer of the Ravid, Tamim Deim Simin Kuf Samach, the Ravid writes there's an exception to the principle of Einan Amakna Davar Shabali Olam. You know what that exception is? A Kinyan Chalipin. So in the Parsha, a kinin chalipin, to acquire the Bechora, the Kasha, this is a davar, shalo bali olam, the answer is ayyadei chalipin. In such a case, one can even acquire a davar shalo bali olam. That's the shita of the Ravid. There's even a third type of kinyan. You know, if you're ever present for Mechiras Chametz, and you see the Rav sell the Chametz to the Goy, we want to make sure that the Goy owns this Chametz midaraisa. And it's very unclear which Kinyanim does a Goy have min HaTorah. And therefore, we try to use many different Kinyanim, seven different Kinyanim are used, in order to see to it that this Chametz really belongs to the Goy min HaTorah. One of the kinyanim that we use is something which is called situmta. Situmta. What does that mean? The minhag hamedina. If, for example, the societal convention is that this represents the fact that the deal is done, in such a case, the halacha represents that as a kinyan. In many circles, especially in Chutz Laaretz, when you shake hands on a deal, in such a case, that's an indicator that the deal is done. When we sell chametz to the guy, we shake the guy's hand in order to demonstrate that the deal is consummated. The chametz is considered to be his, and therefore, this is a method of kinyan. And therefore, the Rashbam writes, what was the situmta in the time of the Chumash? How did you indicate that a deal is done? Now, sometimes you go to business deals in America, they sit together and they have a power lunch that consummates that the deal is done. The Rashbam writes, that was the minhag in the time of Yaakov and Esav. When you sit down to eat, so therefore you break bread together, that marks the fact that the deal is done. And therefore, that is the kinyan that the Rashbam writes was used for the Mechir Sabachorah. When Yaakov and Esav sat down together, the Nezir Adashim, in such a case, that wasn't just simply a way of, but that was the kinyan in which it was chal. If you look in the Mordechai, Shabbos Perek Yates, Rabbi Elazar de Mila, the Mordechai quotes Marami Rutenberg that if you use the kinyan of Situmta, you can be makna even a davar Shelo Ba Leolam. Wow, that's the Chiddush of Rami Rutenberg. So you have all the possibilities. You have Shvua, and you have a Kinyan Chalipin, and you have a Kinyan Situmta, all that are used in the Parsha of seeing to it that Yaakov Avinu would secure the right of the Bechorah. Otherwise, we would argue that in an Amakne, Dover Shlo Ba Leolam. So in terms of the view La Halacha, right, many Prati Dinim, simply from that short interaction of Yaakov and Esav. Now I would suggest, just a step further, that the problem of Einan Amakna Dover Shlo Ba Leolam is not just simply the technical Halacha. How do you acquire the Bechorah? But I would tell you in terms of Hashkafa, that's essential for understanding the Mechiras HaBechorah. A very simple question. Esav HaRasha. Esav was a clear Rasha. Esav was no fool. How is it that a person is willing to give up so much and receive so little in return? You're willing to give up Kedushas HaBechor. You're willing to give up Eskus HaVod. You're willing to give up Eretz Yisrael. You're willing to give up Pishnayim. And what do you get in return? The answer is Nezid Adashim. That's kind of a fair deal. Clearly, Yaakov Avinu was the beneficiary of this arrangement. Now, what was the mindset? What was the thinking of Esav HaRasha? And here I'll tell you that the Hashkafa is that which is critical. You see, the difference between Yaakov and Esav is the following perspective. Yaakov is the Ish Tam Yoshev HaHalim. Yaakov is the Roetzon. And Esav HaRasha is the Yodea Tzayid. What exactly is the difference between a hunter and a shepherd? And I would tell you the difference is exactly that point. When it comes, for example, to the hunter, how much time and effort does a hunter put into cultivating, nurturing that which he benefits from? And the answer is absolutely zero. A hunter takes the time to raise the animal, to tend to the crop? Certainly not. A hunter goes out, even at risk of his life, for immediate kill, and a hunter is able to arrive in immediate pleasure, that instant gratification from that which he does. How much time does he invest in cultivating and nurturing? Absolutely nothing. And that is the contrast of the Roetzon. A Roetzon goes out day after day after day, and nurtures, and cultivates, and shepherds, and ultimately derives benefit from all those significant windows of toil. And that is a difference in a worldview between Yaakov and Esav. Esav was concerned, michrali kayom, with the immediacy of his personal pleasure and benefit. And you know, the Bechorah was worth a tremendous amount, but it was all as a davar shelo ba leolam. It didn't represent anything tangible here and now. It meant that what ultimately a person can reap from, generations later, a schus of avoda, a schus of Eretz Yisrael, a schus of Pishnaim. What did the Bechorah mean right here and now? Absolutely nothing. And it's not surprising that the tzayad, the hunter, is willing to part with something that could be worthwhile in the distant future, but has no value right here and now. But for the Roetzon, or for the Ish Tam, the one who immerses himself in the Oel of Torah, not surprising at all. You invest toward the future. And therefore an appreciation of a Bechorah, even if the Bechorah means little right here and now. And therefore part of the lesson of Yaakov and Esav, if a person is only interested in receiving that immediate gain and pleasure and gratification, you're going to end up giving up the most important things in life for nothing more than Nezid Adashim. Because the most important things in life don't come so easy. They come with Amelus and Hasmada and effort and perseverance. And you know that. You have to dig in for the long haul. If a person is looking for an immediate return, in such a chase, you're going to end up and shortchange yourself. And that's the difference between Yaakov and Esav. The davar shelo leolam was the key to the willingness of Esav to surrender and the greatness of Yaakov Avinu to invest. The difference between Yaakov and Esav can be understood in the following sense. There is a Tosus in Yevamos and Avchof Bezim a days, where Tosus is bothered by the following stira. A stira between the Sugin Kedushin, Daf Dalet, Yevamos, Daf Chav Beis, the following issue. The Gemara discusses Yevamos Chav Beis, the Sugya of Yibum. The Gemara wants to know the following. A person dies, he doesn't have any children, there's a mitzvah of Yibum. What if he doesn't have children, but he has grandchildren? Is there a mitzvah of Yibum, or is there not? The Gemara says a pasuk is necessary to tell us that there's no Yibum if the deceased has grandchildren, even if he doesn't have any children who are alive. A sugyan kedushin daf dalet. The Torah tells us that you have a girl, a woman who is a bas kohen. She is allowed to eat truma. What happens if she marries a Yisrael? She is not allowed to eat truma any longer. What happens if her husband dies? In such a case, she is allowed to eat truma as long as she doesn't have any children. If she has children, she can no longer eat truma. The Gemara raises the following question. What happens if she doesn't have children, but she has grandchildren? Would she be able to eat truma or not? The Gemara says, obviously not. If you have grandchildren, you cannot go ahead and eat truma. Tosus is bothered. But why is it so obvious when it comes to truma? And why is a pasuk necessary when it comes to yibum? That's Tosus' kashi of Amaschav Beizim Adbeiz. Tosus' answer is quite critical. Tosus writes there are two different terms to describe children. One is ben, and the other is zera. And what exactly is the difference between ben and zera? Tosus writes two dinim daraisa that distinguish between the term ben as opposed to that of zera. Tosus points out as follows, that zera is something like a seed that endures, and therefore zera is everlasting. Zera is perpetual. And therefore, zera includes subsequent generations as well. Whenever the Torah uses the term zera, it means children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren, because the seed guarantees that continuity. Ben only means the next generation. And that's it. That's Tosus's Chiddush. And Tosus writes another difference, Lahalacha, that ben means the next generation, but then it stops. But ben applies to a ben who is kosher, or even a ben who is pasul, a ben mamzer. Zera, like a seed, is only zera kosher, and not zera pasul. A seed means that which reproduces its source, and therefore, a zera pasul is not considered to be that which represents the continuity of its source, that is kosher. So Tosus writes, it's important to know in Chumash, two dinim daraisa that distinguish between the word ben as opposed to zera. Zera endures but only kosher. Ben is even possible but it's only one generation. So that's Tosus' answer. That when it comes to Yibum, the Torah tells us, uben einla, ben einla. When it comes to Achila Shuma, the Pasuk says, vizera einla. And those are the two differences, daraisa. That's the Chiddush of Tosus, Nivamos, and Daf, Chav Beis, Amud Beis. The difference between ben as opposed to zera. Note, when you look in the Psukim, ki v'yitzchak yikar l'chazara. Yitzchak is the zera Avram. The zera kasher, that perpetuates the legacy of Avram Avinu. Yishmael, Yishmael bino. Yishmael is the ben Avram. That's the difference between Yishmael as opposed to Yitzchak. And therefore, any halacha that's dependent on zera only applies to Yitzchak, doesn't apply to Yishmael. That's a sugya Sanhedrin daf, nun tesam adbeis. The Gemara questions the mitzvah bris milah. Who is obligated bris milah? Zaracha acharecha, the zera Avram. Who is the zera Avram? Avram, Yitzchak, and beyond, but not any descendant of Yishmael. They're exempt from the mitzvah of bris milah. The Gemara goes the next step. Good, Yitzchak. What about beyond Yitzchak? The Gemara has the following trash, no? Be Yitzchak, ki be Yitzchak velo, kol Yitzchak. Yitzchak is going to have two children, two sons, a Yaakov and Esav. One is going to be Zera, one is going to be Ben. And only Yaakov is the Zera Avram. And therefore, Avram, Yitzchok, Yaakov, Yaakov's descendants, the Zera Avram, enduring, perpetual, the Zera Kosher, only they are obligated in Bris Milah. B'nai Yishmael, B'nai Esav are not obligated. It stops there. It stops with a single generation as a ben and not as Zera. That's the Sugya Sanhedrin, Adaf, Nuntes, Samad Beis. This is critical when it comes to Eretz Yisrael. Avraham Avinu was told in Bris Ben Abasarim, Lizaracha Nasati Yasa Eretz Hazos. Eretz Yisrael is only given to Zera Avram. Zera Avram. It's not given to Ben, but rather to Zera Avram. Who is the Zera Avram? Avram, Yitzchok, Yaakov, the descendants of Yaakov Avinu, we are the ones who are the beneficiaries. We are considered to be the Zera Avram. Esav is the Ben of Yitzchok. But nonetheless, that Yaakov is the Zera of Yitzchok, and therefore, Lazara Chanasati, Zara Sazos. The Rambam has a magnificent raya. This Rambam is found, but you have to see this inside. This is a Pirush Mishnayos in Nedarim and Daf Lamed Aleph. There the Mishnah tells us the following. Right? A person makes a neder. Eini nehne Zera Avram. I won't derive any benefit from Zera Avram. So the Mishnah tells us what we just learned. He can't benefit from any Jew, but he is allowed to benefit from a non-Jew because only Jews are called Zera Avram. Avram, Yitzchok, Yaakov, and Yaakov's descendants. That's us. But not B'nai Esav, not B'nai Yishmael. That's a Mishnah. The Rambam writes, where do you see that this is true? So the Rambam writes a fantastic raya. The Rambam writes, when you look in the very end of last Shabbos' Kriyas HaTorah, the Torah tells us all of the villages and all the cities, all the towns, all the areas that B'nai Yishmael were able to settle. If you look in the very end of Parshas Vayishlach, the Torah tells us all of the cities and all the areas and all the encampments of the B'nai Esav. So many psukim that describe every piece of land that they conquered. And the question is very simple, like, why is all of that necessary? Why does the Torah have to tell us time after time after time that B'nai Yishmael, B'nai Esav were able to settle and to conquer those areas? It's almost like a tease that here we go from place to place to place, and the B'nai Yishmael, B'nai Esav are able to settle with ease. Why does the Torah emphasize that? So you know what the Rambam writes? Because the Bris Ben Abasarim, Avraham Avinu was promised that Ki Ger Yihyeh Zaracha Be'eretz Lolohem Vavodu Ve'ino Sam Arba Mi'oshana. Avraham Avinu was told that your Zera is going to wander from place to place. Your Zera is going to be persecuted. Your Zera is not going to settle until the distant future. And all of a sudden, the Torah tells us, time after time after time, B'nai Yishmael, B'nai Esav settled with ease. You know why the Torah emphasizes that? Every settlement is an undeniable proof that they are not the Zera Avram. That's it. That's what the Rambam writes in the Pirush Mishnayos. And therefore, someone will question, why do you have a right to Eretz Yisrael? What do you mean? The Zara Chanasati Yisaretz Azos? Yeah, who is the Zera? Ki Ger Yizachar Beretz Lolohem. Who wandered from place to place? Who suffered in the Shibud Mitzrayim? B'nai Yishmael, B'nai Esav? Certainly not. They are not the Zera Avram. And therefore, the Rambam writes, the Torah is going to tell us and repeat and reiterate every single sediment in order to demonstrate that we are the ones that have that zchus, not the B'nai Esav, not the B'nai Yishmael. It may take time until ultimately your Yoresh Eretz Yisrael, but you know, the Zera Avram has the breadth of vision. We understand the value of a davar shaloba li'olam. We realize that we're in it for the long haul, and therefore the fact that we don't settle immediately doesn't rattle us at all, because we recognize that the destiny of Knesset Yisrael is to persevere, to endure, and ultimately to be able to derive that benefit. There's a fascinating Rambam in Hilchos Malachim. The Rambam writes this. We know Yitzchak is the Zera Avram. Kiv Yitzchak hi kar l'chazar. How do you know that it's Yaakov and not Esav? I know that that's true. So one proof we just mentioned. Oh, Rambam and Pirush Mishnayos Nedarim Daf Lamed Aleph. We were the ones who wandered from place to place. The Rambam writes, where do you see that Yaakov really is the Zera Avram? You know what the Rambam answers? This coming Shabbos is Kriya Sattar. Who received the bracha? Whoever would receive the bracha, that is the indicator that they are the Zera Avram. And who received Yitzchak's bracha? Yaakov. And therefore the Rambam writes, it's obvious that we are the Zera Avram. So I would just ask the following obvious kasha. True, we received that bracha. That bracha was given to Yitzchak, from Yitzchak to Yaakov, but that bracha didn't come so easy, no? Seemingly in the parsha, there was a willingness of Yitzchak to give the bracha to Esav. You'll tell me a bracha, and I'm telling you not a bracha. I'm telling you the Rambam writes that was going to be the determining factor of who was the Zera Avram. How is it possible? Now, inconceivable that Yitzchak is going to give this to Esav, and without the intervention of Rivka and Yaakov, that's what would have happened? And Esav would have been the one who inherited that status of Zera. How can it be? No? What do you mean? We are the ones who are wandering. That didn't apply to Esav at all. How is that possible? I'll tell you, the answer is the following. Yitzchak was willing to give the bracha to Esav. That's true. But you know the horror of the Beis Halevi. Which bracha? Which bracha was he willing to give? It's unusual. Yitzchak received the Berachas Avram, Eretz Migurecha. Yitzchak, let's assume, thought that he was giving this bracha to Esav. What was this bracha? This bracha was the bracha of Tal HaShamayim Umishmani Haaretz. This was not the Berachas Avram. It's a little unusual that now Yitzchak is about to give a bracha. And what is the bracha that he is about to bestow? Not the bracha that his father gave him. The bracha is the car, the boat, the house. Tal HaShemayim U'Shemani Har. What about the Birchas Avram? What about Eretz Megurecha? You know what the answer the Beis Halevi writes? Yitzchak thought he was speaking to Esav. He's not going to give Esav the Birchas Avram. When you look in that Rambam, in Hilchos Malachim, the Rambam writes, the bracha that would determine who it is that was going to receive that status of the Zera Avram, that wasn't the bracha of Tal HaShamayim, that was Birchas Avram. That was never up for grabs. That Yitzchak gave to Yaakov. But you know what? Yitzchak, the Beis Halevi explained, had the following mindset. That, you know what? I have two children, a Ben and a Zera. The bracha of the Torah Hashem, the bracha of Eretz Megurecha, the bracha of Eretz Yisrael, the bracha of Avoda, that is going to go to Yaakov, you know, to the Ishtam Yosheva Holi. But the bracha of the Tal HaShamayim, Mishmani Haaretz, why can't that bracha, the bracha of bounty, of Gashmias, why can't that bracha go to Esav? After all, that's the Ish Yodei Tzayin. If that is his area of excellence, let him receive that bracha. That was the Havamin of Yitzchak. Never the bracha of Eretz Yisrael, never the bracha of Morasha Kilas Yaakov, the bracha of Mishmanei Haaretz. And that was the intervention of Rivka and Yaakov, that these two brachos are inseparable. Whoever receives the bracha as the Zera Avram, the Birchas Avram, they and only they can receive the bracha of Tal HaShemayim Mishmani Haaretz. And that was the Hashgachas Hashem. That you can't bifurcate and you can't truncate and you can't decompartmentalize those brachos. Whoever is the Zera Avram is entitled to both. But even the Havamin of Yitzchak was never that the Birchas Avram should go to anyone other than to Yaakov, to the Ishtam, Yosef Aholim. And that is the Hashgachas Hashem. That there might be various ways, as the Rambam writes, that one could discover and one could understand HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But you know what? They're inseparable. That one cannot divorce the Birchas Avram of Eretz Megurecha from the bracha of Tal HaShamayim U'Mishmanei Haaretz. And therefore, we are the beneficiaries of both. And that, right, was the Maskanas HaParsha. That's the Chiddush that the Rambam writes, that the Zera Avram receives both. But as Zera Avram, one has to realize that you have to have a broad sense of vision. Right? Anyone who knows, to be able to accomplish in the Torah Hashem, a person is going to be short-sighted. A person is going to think that you're going to master a Masechta, you're going to master Bava Kama immediately. It's going to take an awful lot of time, and it's going to take an awful lot of Chazara, and it's going to take incredible Siyata Dishmaya, a Gemara Nidan Daf Ayin Amud Beis, that you have to be Mispalel for that Siyata Dishmaya. It's not going to come merely with your own Hasmada. The Gemara says, Ha Blo Holo Kaimi. You have to immerse yourself, you have to have that intensity, you have to realize you're in it for the long haul, and you have to daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Yivakesh mimi shachach mashalo. When you say that bracha v'atachonin, you better have in mind that you're beseeching HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that you should have the siyata d'shmaya to be able to gain in your learning, because it is not going to come from your effort alone. It will not be tefillah alone. It will not be your own amelos and hishtadlos and hasmada. Only the combination of both, of ha b'loha lo kaimi. Rav Chaim Volozhiner writes, yagati umatzasi, means a person is obligated to put in all of the effort, the yegia, yagati. Matzasi means a metzia. And if you're fortunate, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to give you a find. The find is the fact that you can understand appropriately the Torah Hashem. That's what Ben Baruch Miransberg writes, the name of the Gaon, Nida Daflamid. Now that's why the Malach teaches us the Torah Hashem before we're born, because on our own, without that sense of Siyata Dishmaya, you wouldn't be able to comprehend the Chachmas Habari. You're only able to do so because HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives you that gift. But the most important things in life are not going to come easy. Those things that come easily are not very well appreciated. Sometimes they're easy come, easy go. That was the mindset of Esav HaRasha. But when you're only interested in that which comes easy, you go out, you shoot, you kill, you benefit, you'll end up giving up the most important things in life for nothing else other than a pot of food. And how could Esav do so? Because it was a davar shalboli olam. Because what benefit was there here and now? The Zera Avram means it's worth wandering. It's worth, if necessary, if this is the Hashgachas Hashem, suffering in Mitzrayim. It's worth enduring all that is necessary to ultimately be able to lay claim to the legacy of the Torah Hashem. And this is what you have to do as B'nai Yeshiva. Every moment that you have, that you're in the Kosle Beis HaMedrash, you have to be held accountable. Are you learning with the Hasmada Tzuma? Are you taking advantage of every possible moment and opportunity? Are you gleaning from your Rebbeim all that they can offer you? If you're not, then you have to take a step back and recognize that this is the challenge, this is the expectation. And you're the Zera Avram. This is not foreign to you. But Zera is something which is Zera Kosher. Zera is that which is enduring. This is something that Bezras Hashem HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given you the tools to be able to acquire and to accomplish, as long as a person is willing to invest and a person is willing to be mispala. The environment that you're in, right, is a magnificent one. Right, so close to the Makom HaMikdash, to be able to absorb the Kedushas HaAretz, to be able to sit and learn with that sense of Hasmada and Amelus. And for many, after a window of time, a year, 2 years, 3 years, that existence transitions. And it's necessary to balance. It's necessary to balance the Avodas Hashem together with a secular pursuit, to be able to balance that with a college career. But you know, that's not a foreign challenge, because after all, the Berachas Avram and the Bracha of Tala Shamayim Ushmani Aretz are inseparable. We don't believe that they are distinct, but rather that fusion, that confluence, is something which is absolutely necessary. But all of that has to be done al Taras HaKadosh. All of that has to be done through the foundation, the framework, the environment of yeshiva. And that, I will tell you, must be forefront in your mind when you're ready to make that decision of what the next step will be. The thought that you can separate and you can have yeshiva experience and then you can have a career experience and those two parallel paths will never meet, that's not our hashkafa. The hashkafa is that only one who understands the framework, the structure of the Birchas Avram can excel in Tal HaShamayim u'mishmanei ha'aretz. And what our yeshiva offers is that type of combination. You have to look for that opportunity where the types of relationships that you're used to with your Rebbeim and your Chaverim will be nurtured and you'll continue to grow. You're not going to peak in Eretz Yisrael, but Eretz Yisrael will give you the tools to be able to continue to soar. Because after all, you're in it for the long haul, and you realize that there might be challenges along the way, but ultimately, that destiny is something that has to be attained. You have to realize that the most important decisions you're going to be making in life will likely be made not in this yeshiva, but rather in your next stop. It'll probably be that next stop where you decide who you're going to marry, what type of house you're going to build, what type of career trajectory you're going to have. That has to be a decision which is made with a sense of Rebbeim, and a sense of Das Torah, and a sense of yeshiva, right, where the message of the relationship of Birchas Avram and Tal HaShamayim Mishmanei Aretz is a given and something which is internal. So too often we see guys coming back to Chutz Laretz and they simply pursue a college career path which ends up a disaster. And if you ask them why they're doing so, they'll tell you because, you know, maybe immediately I think I can attain something. That's not the Hashkafa of Yaakov. You know? The Hashkafa is the investment to secure your destiny as being part of the Zera Avraham, the Zera Kosher that is enduring, where the Limude Kodesh and the Torah informs every decision that you're about to make. So Bezer Hashem, I tell you that take advantage of every opportunity that you have. You don't have the luxury of wasting, right, even a minute. Right? You have to realize that's the opportunity that you have. That's the opportunity you're fortunate your parents have given you. You have to utilize every moment. You have an opportunity to be Kona Masechta. You have to do it with a sense of Amelus. And you have to chazer continuously that which you learn. If you'll ask anybody who seems to be able to recall that which they learn, they're going to tell you it's to a measure siyata deshmaya and to a measure the chazara that they do. But both are absolutely, absolutely critical. There's once someone who asked Rav Avadia Yosef that, you know, he doesn't see such atzlacha, that he learned Yavamos 10 times and it didn't stick. And he responded, only 10 times? You expect that after 10 times it's going to stick? Rav Yosef said the first time he learned Yavamas, he learned it 60 times. 60 times. You know, you'll hear the Hesped about the remarkable memory that he had. 60 times, Chazara, the first time he learned the Masechta. You have to set high goals for yourself in order to be able to recognize that your destiny is in your hands in terms of your ability to understand this mission of being part of the Zera Avram, that in the long haul, that Hasmada and that Amelus is going to make all the difference and will inform every decision that you make. Bezer Hashem, that you should be Zelche to that type of Siyata Deshmaya. You have to work for it, and you have to daven for it. And if we can be any part, right, of your growth and your amelos, that would be our schus. So, Mirtz Hashem, that each of one of you should be matzliach in your year in the yeshiva, in the year beyond, right? When you come back to Chutz Laretz, for those who do, I would urge you to consider the yeshiva as a place where you'll be exposed to shiurim, to sichos, to this sense of a hashkafa, or a partner with you to see to it that the destiny of the Zera Avram can be fulfilled. It will be an enduring one, and it will ultimately be one that you'll be able to reap all the benefits from as being part of the Zera Avram. Okay.